This is Kicking It.
Wow. Wow. I'm really at a loss for words right now. I have no clue what to say after that game, except it's not the end of the world. Now, compared to the first game, when the U.S. beat Ghana, that felt like the biggest uptick of emotions you can have in this game, thinking the U.S. had won, and then on the very last kick of the ball, the very last motion, the ball ends up in the back of a U.S. goal. It feels like when you're in a room and someone pulls a trap door on you, and you fall. It's crazy, honestly. It's so wild to end a game like that, but that's what soccer does. That's why it's a sport that ignites the most passion, and tonight was definitely a crazy night. The Jermaine Jones goal, that was amazing. The Clint Dempsey goal, off his groin or his belly, whatever you want to be, Clint Dempsey has balls. You could say that for sure. But before I get into what I thought about the game, let me just go through the Group G standings, because I think it's still has some pretty important stuff in it, because Germany is, of course, on top with the 4 points and the 4-plus goal differential that came from that big rout against Portugal. 5-1 win there, and then 2-2 draw to even things out against Ghana. U.S. still has 4 points, and the +1 goal differential that came from beating Ghana by a goal. Ghana is at 1 point with -1 on the goal differential, and 1 point for Portugal, and that's -4 for them. So, ideally, if Portugal and Ghana play out for a draw against each other, then the U.S. will advance automatically. But if one of those teams win, you'd really hope it's Portugal, because they're going to need a lot more in terms of advancing from the goal differential. That's just my take on things right there. I'm sure a lot of experts in the Soccer Power Index will have some thoughts too, but the bottom line is Portugal has a -4 goal differential right now, and that's really tough to make up. And as we've seen, Ghana's only given up 4 goals at this World Cup, so even if they even, and the U.S. has a decent result against Germany, but I don't see Portugal beating Ghana by 4 goals, so unless the U.S. absolutely gets blown out by Germany, I think there's still a really good chance for the U.S. to get through. I wouldn't be surprised when Paul Carr releases the Soccer Power Index later if it's at about 50%. Sorry if I'm kind of talking a little lower tonight. Kyle Gibson here with the Kicking It podcast. Didn't even know how to intro that because, honestly, the whistle just blew. And I ran upstairs, I put out a few tweets, and now I'm recording this right now. I've actually been getting some tweets back. If you've heard my phone vibrate, I'm sorry about that, because I took a lot of notes. So let's dive right into this game, because it started off with Nani. Oh, and my dad, who usually joins me on this podcast, he's not here tonight because he's recovering from a surgery. He still watched the game. He took it a lot worse than I did, but honestly, you know, I'm a Manchester United fan. I've watched Ronaldo do that for years. I'm a Liga fan. Sorry there. Try not to cough. And I've watched him do that for Real Madrid. And that's what he's known for. Pinpoint accuracy on crosses, driving forward, getting shots. Even if he's hurt, you've got to watch out for him because he's always the best player on the field. And that was proved early on tonight, unless maybe he's playing a Messi or something like that, but just an incredible cross. And credit where credit's due, I'm not upset at all. That goal by Varela, that's just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You do not get that cross against you in most games. It was great. It was amazing. DeMarcus Beasley was running on tired legs. Varela slashed through the defense. But that comes a little bit later on. Portugal, as you know if you watch this game, opened things early with a Jeff Cameron shank, and he didn't even have time to yell, "Four!" before Nani latched onto the ball. And like I mentioned, I'm a Manchester United fan, and I've watched this guy miss from about 6 yards where he took that shot, and it'll end up in about the 25th row in the stands at Old Trafford, but not today. Of course, you know, he can't score for the team I cheer for, but, you know, he can score really well against the team I cheer for. That's Luis Nani in a nutshell. And he did that in the 5th minute, and instantly the U.S., honestly, I think the sides had been really were really even the entire game, except the U.S. won when Clint Dempsey scored. When Jermaine Jones scored, the U.S. started to win from about the 70th minute on, but then Portugal really evened things out. And, you know, actually the U.S. has given up 7 goals in the first 5 minutes at World Cups, and that's the most of any team at a World Cup in the history of World Cups. So, back lines have always been a problem for the U.S. This is the one I blogged a lot about, I talked a lot about on our podcast coming into it. I was so nervous for the back line. And it was really shaky there. The shank by Cameron was terrible, but DeMarcus Beasley wasn't even marked on Nani. He was ball-watching terribly. And you don't expect a ball to go corkscrewing like that, I understand. But you've got to give Tim Howard a better chance to make a save by marking men. Tim had no chance there. Beasley just couldn't leave him open, and that was terrible by Cameron. Now, listen, though. You can't really... Jeff Cameron played really well for much of the rest of the game. The back line as a whole, though, I would give it a pretty poor performance, except for Fabian Johnson, who, if the U.S. is going to try to get a result against Germany, I think he's going to be a good chance there, too. He's really looked the surprise player at this World Cup for the U.S., besides John Brooks, who's only had 45 minutes, though. Johnson's played 180 minutes and has looked astounding in each of them. He's really good, and I'm so excited that he chose to play for this team. And from there on out, I wrote some notes about how, you know, the combination play early on between Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley was really good. Of course, Bradley getting to him later, the mistake he made at the end of the game. And then, towards the end of the half, a ball went off the post and came back out. And then a shot came back in towards Tim Howard, and he made a typically awesome Tim Howard save. He's such an athletic goalkeeper. And he proved that again tonight. Just amazing stuff. Now, Fabian Johnson, another thing I wanted to mention about him is he's too young to be anything but confident. A lot of these players with World Cup experience, a guy like Clint Dempsey, a guy like Michael Bradley, they're cautious. You know, they're really, really cautious out there. But Johnson is a swashbuckler. He just gets forward. That's what he does. He just runs down that right side and doesn't even matter. And I was thinking that, you know, Graham Zusi can sometimes disappear on the field, but I don't think that's true. I think he allows Johnson to go forward sometimes. And Graham Zusi is a player that knows when he can make his chances, when he can get his touches. He's really good on the corner kicks like we saw against Ghana, really good from the set piece. And Clint Dempsey, too, early on missed a great chance to go ahead, had a set piece free kick that went just over the bar. And Ricardo Costa, when Michael Bradley had that shot that bounced off of him, I really thought that's my play of the tournament so far, until this game produced some greater moments later, because at that point the score was still 1-0 to Portugal. Bradley had a chance there to score, and Costa just got his body in the way, jumped in the air, and it was a great play. It really was. And let me go ahead and just mention Jermaine Jones, too, because he's the guy who got that score, that goal, in the 64th minute. The ball came to him. He didn't hesitate. I feel like a Jermaine Jones of the past would have hesitated, but he's had such a great first 2 games in Brazil. It's incredible. He's always wanted to represent a country on the world scale. He finally got the chance with the United States, and it's been a true United States story of success. It's the American dream. Jermaine Jones is living it, and that shot he had, unbelievable shot. He left it go. He let it go about 26 yards out, I think, maybe a bit closer in. But that ball still had a ton of work to do to find the back of the post. The curve was just incredible. Finds the back of the net, and I went crazy. Let me tell you guys, I went insane. But it wasn't as insane as I went when Clint Dempsey, balls of steel, Clint Dempsey, deuce, took it in, and my brother thought he was really offside, but I was celebrating on the floor. I went and did the typical pylon thing. I guess I ran towards what I would approximate to be the corner flag at my house, because I'm crazy, guys. I really am. And I went down, and I yelled, "We're through." I tweeted, "We're through," in the 80th minute. So my buddy Andrew Piper actually said I was a jinx. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I really don't. The U.S. did great holding on to the lead from that point on. DeAndre Yedlin, who came on in around the 70th minute, did a wonderful job just being speedy, neutralizing things, but of course they didn't score on his side of the field because Cristiano Ronaldo picks up the ball after a terrible Michael Bradley giveaway. He played pretty well this game, but he was terrible in the first. I would have only given him about a 5.4 if I would have been doing player ratings. He did a bit better today, probably got around a 7, but I'd have to probably give him minus 1 after that terrible giveaway when all the U.S. need to do is save a little bit of time, just go forward, move to the corner flag. And Bradley's the one who also, when the U.S. was trying to kick the ball around and waste time in the Ghana game, he sent a ball to the middle that resulted in Ghana getting another attack too. So Michael Bradley has really been struggling, and that was a terrible giveaway that ultimately set up the goal, because you see Ronaldo get the ball and suddenly he looks exactly like the Cristiano Ronaldo of old. No knee injury, nothing like that, just racing past DeMarcus Beasley. And that's been a thought that's been running through my mind, honestly, before the World Cup. I thought, what about Cristiano Ronaldo running at DeMarcus Beasley? He creates a little space. He wafts just a perfect ball in there. And Silvestre Varela, a great header right from the center to the bottom right corner. Man. The ultimate fast break, the ultimate counterattack, that's what Portugal does, and it's deadly when it does that. It's just, it's incredible. And as I mentioned, the game goes out 2-2, but the U.S. still sitting pretty. And look, I know I talk about, a lot of people are talking about Jozy Altidore. How would the U.S. do without him? And I think the U.S. pretty much well showed that moving Clint Dempsey up top is going to yield the same result. I mean, Jozy didn't score before he went down with the hamstring injury. Maybe he would have, but Clint Dempsey was the one who scored 30 seconds in that Ghana game. And Clint Dempsey is the one who scored again. So it looks like if he's fit, Clint's going to be that man again. And the midfield did a pretty good job handling in that spot. And I don't think Jurgen Klinsmann can really do anything with the back line. I think you want to keep a back line pretty solid when you're at a World Cup, because players on that line really have to have some time together to gel, to understand where someone's going to be, to not have any surprises, really. I mean, I played on the back line in my highly amateur soccer career. When you would stick someone new back there, it was a challenge. And I think it is for guys that are in the pros as well, because you know exactly where you are if you've had a lot of games together. If you've played in the qualifiers together, you know where these guys are going to be. And this is the back four that's pretty much been together all throughout the tune-ups. I know Timmy Chandler started for DeMarcus Beasley in the second game against Turkey, but he had a terrible game. So it was pretty clear that Beasley is in that spot. I previously suggested a move where if you wanted to take Beasley out, you could put Fabian Johnson, who's two-footed, on the left side. Jeff Cameron, which I mentioned during the game, he's a natural right back. So if you wanted to stick him in that right back position, you could do that. And then put Beasley and then John Brooks in there too, who defended so well against Ghana. I just don't think you can do that, though, with such a little amount of time remaining. And you don't want to do it against Germany especially. You don't want to have an inexperienced back line without a lot of time together playing each other in that kind of position. I've never thought, I know this might sound unpatriotic, I've never thought that the U.S. would beat Germany. The best result is to just get a decent loss. Pack it in. I know that sounds terrible, but pack it in. Maybe get a 1-0 loss. Maybe tie. Maybe you can tie Germany. That would be amazing. I think with what the U.S. has shown, it definitely could tie Germany. And there's one thing I've been repeating before this entire World Cup, and I've been saying it for about 2 months. You beat Ghana, you tie Portugal, and you squeak by on goal differential. When I've been awakened at night by Ronaldo, when I've been thinking about Germany, when they've been giving me nightmares, when I'm up at night in a cold sweat, you just got to think, you beat Ghana, you tie Portugal, and you squeak by on goal differential. And I think that's something that's still really doable. It's so much better than being at 1 point. I'm not going to have a defeatist attitude here. I said before the game that the U.S. had to beat Portugal in order to advance, period. That a result wouldn't happen in the last game, but this was a solid result. I would feel a lot worse if Germany wouldn't have beat Portugal by 4 goals, because Portugal is going to have a lot of work to do. Now, of course, there is the chance of Ghana moving by, and that's a terrifying thought, but, you know, you just gotta hope for the best, and I know a lot of people are hopping off that bandwagon. I saw the tweets about it. You know, it's amazing how fast people will hop on a soccer bandwagon that, no offense, don't know anything about it, and then they'll just quickly jump right off for the first time something bad happens with this team. Like when the U.S. beat Algeria in 2010, so many fans, but after losing to Ghana, nobody, no one willing to stick up for them in social networks or in public. So, sorry, that's just something that gripes me. I know I'm sounding like a cranky old man. But 2-2 is a result I would take considering the U.S. trailed in this game for 63 minutes, or roughly around 60 minutes. I'll take that completely. 100% a draw, a really good effort, and sure, it hurts that the U.S. didn't kill them off. Right now, I've still, you know, I'm still shocked, I'm still bewildered, but that's soccer sometimes. Imagine Ghana's fans when they thought they were taking a 1-1 draw home, and then it's just something that the U.S. has had to deal with too. I'm just so happy the U.S. didn't lose. I'm happy Clint used his groin to get that second goal, and the referee will often call that offsides too, so good call to the ref. There's still a chance. Chin up, people. Just when you're down, repeat this mantra with me. Beat Ghana, tie Portugal, advance on goal differential. All right, say it with me. All right, clear your throat. Clear your throat. Do you hear me? Clear your throat. All right. Beat Ghana, tie Portugal, advance on goal differential. Beat Ghana, tie Portugal, advance on goal differential. Have a great night, everyone. Don't cry too hard. You can follow me on Twitter at KickingIt10, that's at KickingIt10, or at Kyla's Gibson. My dad's not present tonight, but you can follow him at rgibbo304. The blog is kickingitsoccer.wordpress.com. Got some great posts on there, including the blog from earlier today where I predicted the score would go out 2-2. Don't kill me. Don't kill me, please. Remember, everyone, beat Ghana, tie Portugal, advance on goal differential. Say it loud, say it proud.